This morning, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23, as we look at making a lot, a little, of a lot. We have to be careful that we are not making little of a lot when it comes to many things. It was not that many years ago, it's been a while, but it's not been that many years ago when it was no big deal to kill a baby. Roe versus Wade began the legalization of abortion. Now, in Congress this last week, a bill was brought up that abortion would be made illegal based purely on the choice of gender. So if a gal went in and she said, I would not like to have this baby because I'd rather have a boy instead of a girl, that legislation would come up and make a federal law saying that you cannot go in for an abortion that way. We don't believe that should go in for any way, but saying you could not go in for that way. And the fine legislatures of our nation has said, no, we don't like that law. We think a woman doesn't want to have a boy, she shouldn't have to have one. That would never happen, they said, years ago. And now look where we are. Because I wanted a girl instead of a boy, or a boy instead of a girl. A woman could walk into the clinic and say, could you take care of this for me? We have come to a nation where we decide if we want a boy or a girl. If we don't want it, we just as well shoot them in the head. Abortion has become in our nation so commonplace, I think, that it's a big deal. We've made very little of it. You see the picture up here of a big mushroom blooming. The mushroom of nuclear warfare. And the guy there makes very little of it as he pulls out his stick with the marshmallow on the end. No big deal. It's time for a snack. You know, in their Christian lives, sometimes we take things that are a major deal and make very little of it. We find that in Matthew 23, here he's not talking to people, Jesus is not talking to people who believe that Jesus is God the Son. They don't believe that he is the one who is the Messiah, the Deliverer. They don't believe that he is the one who would bring salvation. But they do believe in God. And they are very religious. And they make sure that they are doing those religious things that God has told them to do. They're very strict concerning the Old Testament law. And yet Jesus, he speaks to them. He says, woe to you! Cursed are you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay the tithe of mint and anise and cumin, all different spices, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. You blind guides, you strain out the gnat and swallow a camel. Imagine that, if you've got your food, your dish there that you prepared, and as you're preparing it, you know how you make spaghetti? You take and put it in the strainer and strain all the water out, and then you have the spaghetti there. And they take their dish that they have made, and they pour it in a large strainer, and out comes the water, and even little gnats and stuff that may have flown in there. You know, when you get that stuff out. And then they put it on the dish, and there on the dish is not only the food, but part of that food, a giant camel sitting right on there on the plate. You missed the more important thing. Some of the people are actually sitting on glass. Well, I hope not, but some of these globes on the lights have fallen, they were broken, they fell. And so we are here, I don't know, while last night cleaning up. and putting light bulbs back in. And as we did that, I noticed that after I vacuumed, I went and vacuumed a little more, and because every little time there seemed like something else. What would it be if I would have made sure I went through and picked up all the little pieces but left large pieces of glass sitting there on the pew or on the floor? You'd think that would have been the easiest thing to pick up. You thought I would have noticed that instead. Don't tell me if I missed something, all right? Just pretend like you got it all. We sometimes make little of a big deal. And here we find the same thing. Now, it's true that God does desire our visible service. He wants us to do what they were doing. The Pharisees were very concerned with the rituals of everything they did. They would make sure they washed their hands the ceremonial way, because after all, if you don't eat, or if you don't wash your hands and make yourself holy the right way, if you use the wrong brand of soap, if you started washing your left hand instead of your right hand, If you scrubbed one way rather than the other, you didn't do it right and you're unholy before God. He says here, you take and you give your tithe of even the spices that you get. And you bring those because God has commanded, bring a tenth of the first fruits. And so they bring that. They make sure they do everything to the T. He doesn't say in this passage, do not do those things. He doesn't say that. He says you got to keep doing those things. Those things are right to do. For us as Christians, we know we need to be in church. God tells us this, that we need to be in church. And so we make sure every time the doors are open, we are at church. Why? Because it's our faithful duty to honor God. We make sure that we put money in the offering box. Why do we make sure we put money in the offering box? Because God says, put your money, give me a tenth of what you make in order to honor me. And so we make sure we pull our calculators out to the penny, one tenth, and make sure it's in there. We make sure that we do what Christians are supposed to do. We greet each other with a holy handshake. We say, God bless you, brother or sister, especially after they sneeze. We make sure as a good Christian, we don't identify ourselves. We're not out there smoking our cigarettes, drinking our beer. We're not out there dancing at the dance halls. We're not out there gambling. We're not out there without wearing a tie, because that's what good Christians do. And we come up with what a good Christian does, and we formulate ourselves to do those things. Whether sometimes we've taken and misused Scripture to come up with an idea, or what culture's doing to come up with an idea, but we've got in our mind, this is the way a Christian is supposed to live. Therefore, this is what I shall drive, this is what I shall eat, this is what I shall wear. However, God does want us to do those things, but aren't there some things a little more important? For example, you see a brother in need. One out of a good Christian should always ask a blessing on a person that's in need. And so we say to them, well, the Lord bless you as you go in your poverty. Are there some things that maybe we don't find as important as we should? See, God desires our visible service. He wants us to do those things which He really wants us to do. He does want us to come to church. He does, in our behavior, want us to represent Him. He does, in the things that we do, whether we're serving at church or we're giving to somebody in need. He wants to display those characteristics. But sometimes we do it to neglect of greater things. God not only desires our visible service, God's greater desire of our life is to reflect His character. There are some laws that you do not obey depending on what's going on. I remember when I was a child, once, years ago, when I was a child, I was having trouble with my asthma to the degree that Mama decided to take me in. Now, I don't know if I was necessarily going to die, but I was having severe problems breathing. So she threw me in the car, practically, and we went on the road. Now, she did not say to herself, well, the speed limit here is only 25, so I am only going to go 25 miles an hour. And she did not say, the red is light with no traffic, therefore I'm going to sit here and wait for the light to turn green even though there's no traffic. No. All the laws of the state went out the window. But they would for you too, wouldn't they? If it was a possibility of your child dying or you getting a ticket, what are you going to do? You're going to get those tickets because you're more concerned with your child. Now, I teased my wife after she got in a car accident and totaled the vehicle, which was not particularly her fault. It was the weather. And that's a story I will always stick to. No, it was not her fault. It was indeed the weather, and she had totaled the car. She was in the hospital a few days and whatnot that way. And it was something very serious. And, well, she, by God's grace, a full recovery, and so she's at home. We're at home. And I finally pull out the bag of all the effects, and I pull out my favorite jacket that was cut in two. And I said, you know, I was just fine about everything that happened. Even the tickets that were issued because somebody was injured. He said he had, by law, he had to give tickets out. So I guess he felt the need to give us tickets. And all that didn't bother me a bit. You know, the car, so what? I'm talking about my wife. But when I saw my jacket, I was not happy. And I teased her in that manner. In reality, it's such a little thing. So much more important is her. But sometimes in the Christian life, we don't let those important things be so important because we're too busy playing Christian to actually live out the character of God in our lives. He says you have neglected the more important matters. Justice, mercy, and faith. That justice, that doing what is right, Proverbs 29 verse 27 says, the unjust man is an abomination to the righteous. He who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. An unjust man, a man who will not do what is right, but that right is not what is right in his own eyes or what is right in other people's eyes is what is right in God's eyes. God is the just one. He is the judge. And sometimes that justice seems unfair to us. But we need to remember God's justice. Some things in our life might be reason to be okay. After all, it is her body anyway. Can't she do what she wants with it? Isn't it her right to be able to extinguish the life of that child because it is inconvenient, they don't have the money, she's not married, she doesn't want one at the time, or it's a boy? She's the one that's going to raise it. She's the one that's got to put all the money out for it, all the time out for it, all the energy out. Put it this way. If I paint a beautiful painting, I just hours and hours of work on it, and paint this beautiful sunset and the beautiful red and orange and yellow colors in the sky reflecting off of the clouds, and then you see the brook there and the sun reflecting and all the beautiful colors there, and the trees, though it's dark, you see the outlines of them and their form, and I just spend hundreds of hours on it, And I come and I bring it, or I have you come to my house and you look at it. He said, that is absolutely magnificent. You could get some real money. You are very talented. Don't I have the right, because I made it, to go up and rip it to shreds and burn it? You cannot say to me, I can't. I made it. I own it. I can do that, right? So doesn't it make sense that if the child is mine, I can do that with a baby? But that is the kind of logic that is used to try to justify murder. Bill Cosby was correct, although he was being facetious when he said, I brought you into this world and I will take you out of it. Knowing his personality on TV, you know that wouldn't happen literally. It's one of those threats we give our children when we're very upset and we want them to know it. It is not based on the way that I logically come to a conclusion, but what does God's word say is right? And what does he say is wrong? If my own coming up with ideas of this is okay and that's not okay comes in conflict with God's word, then what has to happen? I have to change my thinking, even if I don't think it's right. Why? Because God is always right. He is just. He is a just God and a Savior. Isaiah 45. God is just and the judge. We find in Exodus chapter 23, 1 through 9, speaking of justice, God tells his people Israel, you're not to circulate a false report. Don't put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow the crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert justice, to conspire against somebody and then testify against them because you don't like them for whatever reason. You shall not show partiality or favoritism to the poor man in his dispute. Don't just take what somebody says as an emotional story to capture your heart and win your judgment. No. Do what is right. Feelings are going to be hurt one way or the other. But do what is right. If you meet an enemy's ox and his donkey going astray, you should surely turn back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. You don't want to help him, but you know what? Even though he's your enemy, do help him because that is what is right. You will not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute. Keep yourself from a false manner. Do not kill an innocent and righteous. For I will not justify the wicked, and you shall not take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Also you shall not oppress the stranger. For you know in your heart the heart of a stranger, because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. The things that you do, do out of what is the right thing according to God. Now, when you think about justice and doing the right thing, what can happen is we get back to being very technical. Well, that's not the way that's right. Or justice must be done. And we forget God's mercy. The forgiving heart. Mercy. Even as God has mercy on us, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 31, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you or destroy you, nor forget you his covenant of their fathers which he swore to them. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 10, God shows mercy on thousands to those who love him and keep his commandments. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In the pursuit of doing what is right, when it comes to the person who is repentant, who says, what I've done is wrong, have mercy on me, our hearts should be in such that we are willing to abundantly forgive. Justice may still need to be done. For example, in order to follow God's word, a person who murders, even though forgiveness can be obtained, the proper thing is for the government to put them to death because they have murdered. Love covers a multitude of sins, though. And so somebody comes up to you and says something you don't like. You know exactly what to do, don't you? Kick them in the shin and run away. Why? Because that is what is just. They hurt you in who you are, in your heart. You leave the bruise on their leg to remind them they did that. If you do that, you have no mercy. Isn't it right for us to say, wait a minute, I don't appreciate that. And for them to say, you know, I'm sorry, I came across wrong. That's not what I necessarily meant, or, you know, that wasn't right of me. And what do? We say, so what? I don't want to talk to you. Our forgiveness is gone. God forgave you for all your sins, every last one of them, when you humbly came before Him, asked His forgiveness, and put your full trust in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. If God so loved us, shall we not also love one another? Justice needs to be done. But where is mercy? So what? If you go to church and you make sure that you wear a tie or comb whatever's on your head the right way, so what? If living out God's character of justice and mercy is not there. The New International Version, faithfulness, the New King James and the King James Bible, faith. Faith, a constant trust in God. That constant trust in God in which drives you to be faithful to Him. Because you know that He provides. You know that He is there to give you strength. You know that He can and will accomplish the impossible. Why do you know that? He has in the past. He's promised it for the future. If we know those things, then our faith and our faithfulness to Him ought to be tremendous. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Let me ask you, in your life, where are you? Have you built into your life those weightier things? Are you striving to do what God says is right? Are you looking at His Word, listening to His Holy Spirit to help you make good decisions on your habits, on maybe you got a big decision what to do? The Hawks are going to decide before long, Lord willing, do we go direct to Katy first or do we go to language school first? What do we do? How do we handle that decision? We've got their co-workers, Lord willing, co-workers that are deciding how do we handle the fact that our daughter has leukemia. Big decisions. Is it in your life that you just go with whatever you decide, or are you actually seeking what is right? What does God want us to do? Are you doing that justice, doing what is right? Are you merciful? Do you have the character of being one of the most forgiving people there is? The kindest, most gracious. Maybe instead of being known for that, you're just simply known as that very faithful person that shows up to church every time the doors are open. Or that person who's always very strict in reading their Bible or taking time to pray. But if it doesn't affect your life in the sense that you can become a very gracious and forgiving person, you've forgotten that you're to love as God, Christ's sake, has loved you, what benefit is it? Don't neglect the former, Jesus says, your tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Don't neglect that. But What about the things that are even of greater value to you and before God? Your faith. Is your faith consistent and constant? Are you the type of person that's constantly worrying? Or is your faith constant in God? Trusting Him to guide you and your faithfulness to Him so that when you leave here, you get up in about 2 minutes, pick up your stuff and leave. Is your faithfulness to Him to the point that when you go out to eat or on the way there, your mind and your heart is still set on God? Or are you more concerned with other things that you've got to get done today? And have let everything that God has taught you in Matthew 23, 23, and 24, though it has gone one ear, will it leave, fall to the pew next to you, so when you leave, it stays there. Our hearts need to be such that, unlike the Pharisees, while it is important that we are displaying godliness in the way that we perform the different things that we do, whether it's giving or helping somebody, or it's praying or reading our Bibles, whatever it may be. Though it's vital and important for us as a Christian to do, is our character changed to the degree that we're living out His Word in everything we do? Heavenly Father, I ask that You would help us evaluate our lives, that we might conclude that we must work diligently.